Good morning, good afternoon. Please go ahead. This call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, Francesca. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GAC GNSO Consultation Group call on the 4th of November 2014. On the call today, we have Mason Cole, Brian Winterfeld, Mark Carvel. We have apologies from Manal Ismail, Jonathan Robinson, Anna Nevis, Abu Doria, and Volker Greiman. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Olaf Nordling, Julia Chauvelin, Karen Percy, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Mason.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Mason Cole speaking, the GNSO liaison to the GAC. I've been asked to chair the meeting for the day in Manal's absence. So I understand we don't have that many participants on the call today, but we have a tentative agenda on the right-hand side of your Adobe screen. And even if we don't follow the agenda precisely, I think it might be useful just to get perspectives from anyone who'd like to share on some of these items today. For my part, I think if we can agree to a regular call schedule going forward, something that everyone can participate in, that would be a very good outcome of the meeting today. It's going to be important that we have as much participation as we can. So I anticipate some of the items that we'll discuss today will need to be transferred to the list for discussion. But perhaps we can just do a quick run through the agenda. I'm particularly interested in perspectives from Mark, if we may, on some of these issues from the GAC. But anyone else, of course, who has points of view to share, then we should. So I'd suggest we start at the top of the agenda and just share our own thoughts about how the LA meeting went, what we learned from that in terms of the working group going forward, and we'll just start with that. So let me open the floor. Would anyone like to talk a bit about the LA meeting and some of the learnings that we had, discussions we had about the work tracks, anything else that's relevant to the meeting today? Oh, David Cake has joined. Good morning, David.
Well, Mason, it's Mark speaking. If I can just...
Yes, Mark.
If I can just
please
say,
go ahead, Mark.
From the GAC perspective, I think the session we had with the full committee in LA was very timely. I hope it will have registered with a lot of people that this is important work and that we will get more GAC engagement over the coming months as we finalize the modalities. I emphasize that in my comments to the committee later on. And of course, we have a new chair, Thomas Schneider, who I think is well suited of the importance of this, this important joint working with the GNSO. So I'm confident that the GAC will gear up, and we may have more members participating. Today actually is a bit awkward because there are several colleagues in Busan at the Turner Potentiary. I happily managed to avoid that because we've got a full UK team there, including somebody who deals with who works alongside me on internet governance. And then there's also actually an IANA cross-constituency working group conference call, I think, happening at the same time as this call. So I think that's kind of worked against it. But anyway, just reflecting on that, I think it was good to have that session for you to be introduced, Mason, and to the full committee. And I think, with Manal's help, we will, be able to ratchet up the involvement as we reach this critical stage of the work of the joint consultation group. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mark. If I may, I would agree with you. I think the LA sessions were useful in terms of opening a dialogue between the GNSO and the GAC. I understand the conflict that GAC members have with the IANA issue and the meeting in Busan. So perhaps today is an anomaly, and we'll have better participation on the calls going forward. But I share your point of view that LA was productive, and hope that we can continue that productive progress. Any other thoughts on Los Angeles? Okay, very good. excuse me. Marika, can I impose on you to give a brief update on the work tracks?
Yes, this is Marika. So I thought it might be helpful to actually pause a second and look back at the charter, and what you see on the screen is just a section I thought was important to highlight, and maybe as well the history of you know, why we've been talking about two tracks. So the one track focusing on the PDP and early engagement of the GAC and that process, and then the second track, which is a day-to-day ongoing coordination between the GNSO and the GAC. So as defined in the charter, the deliverables that this group is expected to produce is, first of all, a documented process in the form of a table, flow chart, et cetera, to depict the ongoing smooth and timely information exchange between the GAC and the GNSO organizations. And there are already some examples included here on what form that could take, you know, the GNSO liaison to the GAC, which we already have in place now, permanent liaison consultative group, and I think, as you're aware, there's some other ideas that are being discussed under that specific track. And then at the other hand, an agreed documented process, again, in the form of a table or a flow chart that would depict the ongoing smooth early engagement of the GAC in the GNSO policy development process, along with an agreed documented procedure to be followed where GAC early input is in conflict with the GNSO proposal and a mutual agreement could not be reached. I think on both of these tracks, we have made great progress or at least have outlined, I think, the direction we're heading in. I think we have some more concrete outcomes on the day-to-day cooperation track, where, of course, you know, we already have Mason now in place as the GNSO liaison to the GAC. And I think the work we've done on the GNSO PDP, we haven't really been able to fully dive into that, so that may be another a focal point for the work going forward. But I thought it might be helpful just to remind everyone of the deliverables as set out in the charter and how those basically resulted in the two tracks that the group has started working on, noting that, of course, in several of these instances, there is clear overlap between the two because, you know, in your ongoing communications, you may at times also have information sharing or input in relation to the PDP. So I think we need to make sure as well that, that there are overlaps and links between the two tracks. But at the same time, I think it's important as well to see that progress has been made in those two areas. And I do have the documents available or the last status of both of those, if it's helpful to go into those, even though I don't think we have any of the team leads on the call. Oh, I think Amar has just joined. So he may provide some insights on that. So that's what I basically wanted to share. I don't know if you want me to cover anything else at this stage, Mason, or whether you want to go into the two tracks and see where things are.
Well, let's cover items 2A and 2B on the agenda, and I think some of the color for going more in depth on those deliverables will probably come out if we can proceed that way. So let's move on. Thank you very much, by the way, Marika, for that update. Item 2A, the PDP work track. Amar, good morning. Thanks for joining the call. Would you like to provide the group with an update on that work track? Is there anything that you'd like to share this morning?
Hi, Mason. Hello, everyone. This is Amar. If I am going to provide an update, I'd probably say that there's very little that we've done on this, at least that I've done along with Suzanne. We haven't done much coordination. And to clarify why I feel this has been happening is, like Marika said, there is a lot of overlap between the PDP track and the day-to-day track. Although I am a process enthusiast, and I think that's a rarity in the GNSO, I'm one of those folks who is very enthusiastic about process issues, and I deal with them all the time on council and also on the Standing Committee of Improvements. But as is, I'm still having a little trouble figuring out what we're supposed to be delivering on this track. And if I got more of a sense from this group on what they would like to see, I can try to work something out with that. Marika's already done some work. Thanks for that, Marika. And sort of just laying out what the process looks like. And Mikey had already started doing some work earlier when he was leading this group on where the possible nodes of interaction between the GAC and the GNSO process may be. But it feels to me that most of the nitty-gritty stuff is on the day-to-day track. And if there's something clear, something that this group would like to see delivered on the process track, I'd be happy to work on it. And I think I have enough relevant expertise on the matter to do that, but some guidance would be appreciated. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Marika, I see your hand.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe just to remind everyone as well that, you know, where we initially started out on this track is, I think, a table staff prepared that basically outlines the existing engagement opportunities in the GNSO policy development process, and then describing how those are currently managed or handled. And then I think we had as well, comments or suggestions or feedback, I think, from people in the group on why those weren't working, or whether those maybe should be rethought or in a different way implemented. And I think from there, then we went to the flow chart, I think, first of all, as well, in an attempt to show what is currently being done. And I think we said, okay, let's maybe first try to focus on, I think we broke it down into, I think, four or five stages that map as well the policy development graphic and the stages that we've identified in that process. And basically said, well, maybe we want to focus as a first step on the initial stages of the policy development process, as input at that stage is probably the most valuable. And that is the flow chart I put up there, which in blue it basically depicts in blue and white the existing steps of the issue scoping part of the policy development process. And then in red highlighted is one of the ideas that has been floated as a possible mechanism that would allow GAC input at the stage of the preliminary issue report. I don't think we've had an opportunity to really go into detail whether people believe that this is something that should be pursued. If so, what would be the exact format or how would it work in practice? So I think we're really still at that stage of trying to think through at which parts of the PDP process GAC input would be beneficial, desirable, required, optional. And if so, what form would that take? And I think at least the quick look mechanism was an idea that tries to address the fact that the preliminary issue report is something that is a staff prepared document that outlines the issue. It's not a GNSO opinion or a view yet, so it may not require any kind of detailed position yet, apart from flagging is there any information missing, and is there any specific view on whether a PDP should be initiated. Hence, maybe the form of a kind of quick look mechanism that would possibly address the GAC's concern of needing more time to develop formal positions. This would be a kind of raising a red, orange, or green flag that would give a kind of indication of whether GAC views would be forthcoming on this issue, which would then also put the GNSO on alert to really make sure that there's ongoing engagement. So I think that is a little bit the thinking about the quick look mechanism that could form a kind of trigger for further engagement opportunities throughout the PDP. And I think that's where we're basically at. And I think as Amr already said as well, there is of course as well overlap between the early the ongoing communications where input is being requested and sought. But I think nevertheless, it will also be important to really focus on the steps in the PDP and trying to define how GAC engagement would look or should look, as that may also make it easier for people to visualize on how that may work in practice, And maybe, again, these are some of the things we may want to experiment with. Is it something to try out? Again, I think, of course, you know, a GAC quick look mechanism would also require, you know, commitment from the GAC, or at least a mechanism from the GAC side to be able to do that. And so I think those are some of the things we may want to talk about or think through.
Okay. Thank you very much, Marika. Amr, I see your hand.
Thanks, Mason. This is Amr again. I also have a thought on this, and it's just a personal opinion, and it probably needs to be discussed more on the GNSO Council. But I am personally agreeable to the principle of maybe making some very light-handed modifications to the GNSO process to accommodate easier inputs by the GAC along the process. And I said this on our previous call. But like Marika said, this to sort of experiment with this, we would need some sort of confirmation or commitment from the GAC that they would work with the GNSO to make this happen and to make it productive, to make it something that would add value to GAC early engagement in the GNSO process. And I just want to stress that I would recommend a very light-handed approach to making these changes, and just with the purpose of allowing the GAC process to sync more in line with the GNSO process. And I'd be happy to sort of dig into that a little deeper if folks from the GAC and if the GNSO Council is agreeable to the idea. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Amr. Mark.
Yes, thank you, Mason. Thank you, Marika, for running through the deliverables. I think it's time now to put to the GAC, first of all, the quick look mechanism approach, which I would support, because it's, as I've said, I think all along, the earlier the GAC is has an opportunity to express a view as to potential involvement in a PDP process, the better, the earlier the better. So my suggestion, subject to consulting with Anna, Suzanne, and Manal and Hema, maybe, subsequent to this call, is that we put a proposal to the GAC that a quick look mechanism is instituted as a matter of course for each GAC meeting. And the reason I say the meeting, I think any step, whether it's at the scoping stage or in terms of engaging with policy development, has to be considered when the GAC meets. I don't see it, a possibility for any of these modalities to operate virtually or intersessionally. So the timing of the mechanism is pretty crucial. We have to have some period prior to GAC meeting where we have information to work on with regard to an issue at the scoping stage. And then at the meeting itself, we have a slot for determining the quick look for undertaking the mechanism. And then the process following that would, I presume, perhaps be through the liaison, you, Mason, in terms of reverting back to the GNSO in a sort of timing which is consistent with wider public comment process, I guess. And then we record this in the communique, the GAC communique, that we've undertaken a quick look mechanism examination of preliminary examination of an issue, and undertaken a liaison with the GNSO accordingly. So what I'm saying is I think we need now to put to the GAC a proposal for agreement that we institute some this mechanism, the quick look mechanism, as a matter of course for each GAC meeting. Now, I'm assuming that you are okay with the idea that we incorporate these modalities in the physical GAC meetings, which are 3 times a year, obviously. And you understand that it's perhaps difficult to undertake these such a mechanism intersessionally. But that's my view. And as I say, I could discuss this further with the others active in the group subsequent to this call. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Marika, I see your hand, but if I may, let me just ask Mark a question. Mark, if the GNSO work proceeds more quickly than the meeting schedule for the GAC, meaning if a PDP advances beyond the initial, the very initial stage, past where a quick look mechanism might be appropriate, would the GAC feel comfortable then providing input at a different stage of the PDP process? Because there, just as a reminder, there are multiple stages along the timeline for input for the GAC.
Well, yes, I certainly see the point. And it's important for the GAC to keep in step with the policy development process and not to to slow it down. In order to gear it to physical meetings, I do see that as a problem, potentially. I'm not sure yet how we address that, but I think it's a problem we always anticipated, and part of that issue, of course, is that the GAC reps may well have to consult within their administrations, and you have to allow time for that as well. So I don't have a firm answer to that in terms of the ability of the GAC to respond and engage in policy development beyond steps at meetings. I really don't know yet how that might work out.
Okay. Thank you very much, Marika.
Sorry.
No, not at all. Yeah, go ahead, Marika, please.
Yeah, this is Marika, and also recognizing, of course, the timing aspect and where that may fit in. I think there are probably different ways we could look at it, and then I think it partly comes back as well to the question, how much input does the GAC want or need to provide at which stage? And for the quick look mechanism, and that's something I tried to map out a little bit in the chart as well, the idea is that the quick look mechanism wouldn't really be anything more than the GAC saying, yes, we believe this issue has public policy implication and we'll provide you with further input in due course. Orange would be, well, this may have public policy implications, and we may provide you with public input at a later stage. And green would be, well, we don't think there are any public policy implications at this stage. Of course, we still reserve our right to comment at a later stage, but for now, don't hold your breath on us providing you with anything. And that would basically trigger for the GAC internally a kind of creation of a working group or whatever kind of mechanism you would need to actually come up with that more substantive kind of input, which probably would need to be considered at a meeting and worked through and recorded as part of the communique. But the question is, does just the raising of the flag, and it could be a kind of standard kind of language, is that something that could be triggered in between meetings? And again, we're just looking at a more kind of indication. The GAC is planning to provide input on this issue, so the GNSO can, anticipate that and follow that up, either through the liaison or other conversations. Alternatively, if your view is that more substantive input can already be expected at the stage of the preliminary issue report. And again, the issue report is just scoping the issue. I think where you really want to have your input and views and opinions is when, you know, the working group starts the deliberations, because that's really the stage when people, well, the group will start looking at, you know, what information do we have, what are the different views of the different groups, and how are we going to address those. So that is, at least from my perspective, I think the crucial moment where you do need to have that input available, and then maybe, you know, not as much flexibility to wait for a long time for that. I think alternatively, if you do believe that at the preliminary issue report, the GAC may already want to provide substantive input, then maybe the trigger should be moved up. So basically, as soon as the GNSO Council, you know, requests an issue report, at that point, notification goes to the GAC and says, you know, staff will start working on the issue report. And the time frame that we typically have is 45 days, a maximum of 45 days, but we can ask for more time if needed. So that may already give you a window of 45 days to start thinking about it. And, you know, it may still then come a little bit after, you know, public comment is open or closed, looking at, you know, how the schedule of ICANN meetings is. But that would allow you at least for more time to get that done and maybe align it more with the, you know, doing it at GAC meetings. So, or at the ICANN meeting. So I think the basic question comes down to is how much input do you want to provide at what stage, how much time is needed for that, and based on that, you know, where does it then need to fit in into the overall process that we currently have?
That's a useful reminder about the quick look mechanism and whether or not something's red, orange, or green. I think that's a good gating item for keeping the workflow manageable. Because if the GAC doesn't see public policy implications on a particular issue, then that frees up more of the GAC time for input on other issues. So thank you, Marika. Amer.
Thanks, Mason. This is Amer again. I just wanted to really agree with something Marika said, which is that I personally believe that GAC input would be far more valuable at the stage where the deliberations on the policy, when the PEP working group is doing its work, is probably going to be far more useful than at the earlier stages when we're scoping the issue or when we're drafting the charter. An earlier recommendation I had made on this group was that instead of trying to approach the process issue from the beginning and working our way up, so starting with the preliminary issue reports and then the charter drafting and the PDP, I had recommended that we actually start backwards, but folks on this group didn't seem to agree much with that idea. And one of the reasons is because I do believe that input at the PDP working group stage would be far more beneficial. We could see quicker return on the work that we're doing if we did that. But also, the timing issue was something I had in mind at the time, because when the GAC is interacting with the PDP working group, it doesn't necessarily have to be a stage when public comments are being provided for an initial report by the PDP working group. But PDP working groups traditionally always reach out to the different ACs and SOs seeking input at very early stages in their work. And these working groups go on for quite a long time and cover usually at least 2 to 3 public ICANN meetings in which the GAC will be able to meet and deliberate on different policy issues. And if one policy has been flagged to have public policy implications, then the GAC could provide input using its normal mechanisms of doing so to a GNSO-PDP working group even before an initial report is published. And I think this in itself would be a big win for this group and a big win for early engagement of GAC on GNSO-PDPs. And that way you could get the GAC perspective on public policy implications very early on in the PDP proceedings, and I just think that would be helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Amer. Olaf?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Just to follow up, Marika has said it almost everything about the quick look process, but recalling our discussions over the months, the quick look process Well, the thought was rather that this could happen at within the time frame of this very first step of the P2P on issue scoping. And the thought being really that this would be useful on both sides, that it would be useful for the GNSO to be aware of that, whether it was a green, yellow, or red light, in a very preliminary fashion, and no promises, no regrets. And it also would be useful for the GAC to realize at an early stage that, oh, we have something here that we really need to address. So, going back to Mark, I think we should consider that in any proposal we provide to the GAC, that this could potentially be something that can be developed intersessionally without having sort of a binding function, but being helpful to the workings of both the GNSO and the GAC. So just a thought to follow up on what Marika said, which I wholeheartedly agree upon. Thank you.
Thank you, Olaf. David?
I just wanted to comment on Marika said that, you know, in response to a quick look, the GAC might form a, you know, some sort of group to look into it and then maybe take an official position on it sort of via the GAC communique. I've got no problem with that, with the GAC taking an issue, stating a public policy position via the GAC communique. That's almost certainly not going to really be sufficient. And if the GAC have gone to the effort of forming a small group to look at it seriously, opportunity of more detailed and sort of back and forth interaction with a working group would be terrific. I mean, at the moment, for example, in the IGO curative rights mechanism, we're sort of looking at the GAC advice, and it's sort of one sentence long, and it's not that anyone is sort of disagreeing with it, but we're having a discussion about what it actually means. And respect it's something that, you know, one of the people in the GAC who sort of put forward that position could explain to us in a way that was really helpful, whereas sometimes it's, I think I said at the time that talking to working with policy sort of input that's only sort of gone via the mechanism of the GAC communique is a bit like trying to sort of have a communication via just sort of putting up billboards. It's sort of, you know, there's a limited amount and the process is very, the back and forth is very slow. And that sort of commitment to, hopefully a much more detailed explanation, some way in which the GAC can sort of realise there's an issue and then sort of regularly, not we understand the GAC won't be able to directly participate in a working group, but perhaps write us something other than, you know, write us, for example, a page or something thinking, a sort of rationale of GAC advice would be really helpful. I mean, basically, a rationale for GAC advice would be terrifically helpful for GNSO working groups.
Thank you, David. Mark?
Thanks. I'm very much in agreement with what everybody has said so far. The GAC has changed a lot in recent years. I mean, I joined in 2008, and intersessional activity was pretty minimal then. We're now really much more active intersessionally. So I didn't mean to suggest that we would sort of just park things and until we actually met up again. I didn't mean to suggest that. I think the quick look mechanism decision, you know, green, amber, red, deciding whether there's a clear public policy issue, I think that has to be made, that decision has to be made at a meeting, at a physical meeting. It'll be the first time that the committee will have been made aware of an issue, and if it's very obvious that there are public policy aspects to it which the GAC should engage on, that is the time to signal. But I don't think we can do that intercessionally. I think it requires everybody to speak together. For those who have been active following GNSO consultations and so on, to be able to bring it up to speed, the other members of the GAC who may not be following issues very closely, and it has to be said that many do not. We need to do that at a physical meeting. And we can take a decision, I think, at the time of agreeing that there are substantial public policy issues, then to form a working group. And that could work intersessionally and engage with the GNSO process in step and prior to the next physical GAC meeting. I'm sure that could be achieved. So I think it's quite feasible for us in the GAC to pick up an issue and with an active group, a subgroup of the GAC, to work on that in coordination with the GNSO group, the PDP working group, as that's already gearing up. And then the GAC working group will report online to the GAC at the appropriate moment, and then at the next physical GAC meeting there will be, I guess, a kind of review of where things stand, and we'll have you, Mason, providing liaison input, and a meeting with the GNSO agenda, which would include an issue which is developing as a PDP, where there are public policy issues and the GAC working group is engaged on it. So I can see that scenario being put in place. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mark. David, is that an old hand or a new hand?
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I see that Marika has captured most of this in notes. Mindful of the time, it's now 1:45. Perhaps we move on to the rest of the agenda. One thing that I wanted to bring... Yes, Marika, sorry.
Yeah, I did have one last comment, if I may, or question.
Please.
So this is Marika. So a question for Mark is, do you think that in order for the GAC to be able to... take a decision in the quick look mechanism, would it be sufficient for you just to know what the issue is that the GNSO Council is considering? So, in other words, you know, we just send you, this is what the issue report is expected to look at, or do you think that would have to be the preliminary issue report so you can actually see, you know, what is being covered and how the issue is scoped? Because, as I explained before, I think there are, you know, two possible trigger mechanisms that we could think of. And I think it depends partly on how much information the GAC would need for it to be able to use the quick look mechanism to be able to determine whether or not there are public policy implications.
Well, thanks, Maria. Yeah, Mark speaking. Well, I would envisage a fairly simple document as an initial explication of the issue as being sufficient. If we have that in good time, I don't know, three to four weeks before the GAC meets, so it allows for GAC reps to consult where necessary specialists within their administration, if that's necessary, and then to arrive at the GAC meeting well prepared to give a view on whether there are substantive public policy issues in a discussion. But based on a preliminary report, I would have thought would be the way to do it. we can always, as we said earlier, we can always preserve our position if subsequently in the more detailed document reveals things that we hadn't anticipated or alerts us to aspects that we hadn't considered. We then are able then to revise our quick look response, I guess. So we always have that safeguard. So I would support a preliminary issues paper approach for the quick look mechanism. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Marika, did that help with your question?
This is Marika. Yes, although I'm still not clear on whether we're talking about a short, one-page kind of document that could be provided at the start of the, when the issue report is requested, or the preliminary issue report, which is usually at least a 40-page, if not more, document. But I think that's something, we're going into details, and I think that's something we can probably think about further. That was definitely helpful.
Mason, yes, Mark. Okay. Sorry, if I didn't make it, I guess I'm thinking of the preliminary. A much shorter, 1 to 2 pager. That would be my preference, my suggestion. Thanks.
Okay, thank you both. If I may, let's go ahead and move on to a couple of the other agenda items. Just in considering the GNSO liaison role, one of the things that I've noticed right away is that I have very little effective way of communicating with the GAC right now. That I do so a bit through Olaf, a bit with Manal, a bit with others in the GAC on calls like this, but I have no formal way of notifying the GAC about business issues related to GNSO progress. And I wonder if it might be useful if we identified someone within the GAC, someone with whom I can communicate on a day-to-day basis, who then could relay information to the GAC so that the communication loop is fully made. I saw in the board resolutions, excuse me, that were published yesterday, that the board has agreed to funding for a GNSO secretariat or a GAC secretariat. So perhaps that person can be a day-to-day go-between for me. But pardon me. I do think that someone with whom I can confer on a day-to-day basis would help the day-to-day coordination work that needs to happen between the GNSO and the GAC. So I'd be particularly interested in Mark's point of view on this, but others are, of course, welcome on this. Anyone? Olaf?
Oh, yeah. Apologies. I was on mute. But just to make it clear, when you wish to convey something to the GAC, it's perfect to send it to me, and I'll inform the GAC list. But I think what we were talking about was also that you have a direct connection with, let's put it, one GAC representative to confer with, rather than going always through, ICANN staff or the external secretariat, which is certainly also a possibility. So to have a peer-to-peer relation with someone from the GAC. And I think that's a very good idea. So I leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Olaf. Mason speaking again. Yes, that's exactly what I'm referring to. I think someone who is inside the GAC process and can provide beneficial perspective back to the GNSO would be best. I'm mindful of the GAC's limitations on their time and of some of the difficulties in accommodating GNSO work day to day. But if that's something that can be arranged, I think that would be very beneficial. Mark?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to arrange that. My suggestion is that one of the five vice chairs that we now have be accorded this responsibility. We could put that to Thomas anyway, as the GAC chair.
That's a good suggestion. Okay. Any other input on this issue? Okay. I believe we're now on item 2B, number 1, which is creation of a GAC GNSO working group. I'm sorry, Marika, can you remind me where we went with this agenda item, because it slipped my mind.
Yeah, this is Marika. Sorry, took a minute to get off mute. I think basically where we left this off, and I can pull up the documents that we have for this. We started out listing a number of options that the group wanted to consider in relation to day-to-day coordination and engagement. We then narrowed down that list. You know, one of the things we already implemented as the GAC or the Genius Liaison to the GAC, but there were still another number of other elements we were looking at. And the document you see on the screen outlines those different options that we're considering, with some of the comments, the pros and cons. How could this potentially be implemented as a pilot? What is our overall assessment? And it looked at the early awareness and notifications, notices, which I think we've been discussing in quite some detail, the rethinking of the recurring joint meetings, regular engagement between the GAC and GNSO chairs. And I think at the last meeting, there was also a suggestion that maybe there could be something of a joint working group between the GAC and the GNSO that could serve a kind of purpose of sharing information, keeping up to date. But again, I think we didn't really go into great detail on that concept. So I think the question is this one of the options that we want to add to the list and consider in further detail, and then decide which of those we want to move forward with and flesh out further and make concrete recommendations? Is the working group, is that the option that we want to move forward with and that would encapsulate some of the other things we have spoken about? So I think it was just one of the ideas that was thrown out in the face-to-face meeting that I think that Manal noted, that we may want to think about and consider further. And then I think also think about how such a grouping could potentially work, what would be its role, how would be the setup. So I think, again, I think it's, from my perspective at least, I think it was one of the additional ideas to the list that we already currently have, but probably at some point we need to start moving this into concrete recommendations and suggestions on what we as a group, or what you as a group believe should be recommended to both to the GNSO and the GAC in relation to day-to-day coordination. In addition, of course, to what we currently already have in place in the form of the liaison role.
Okay, thank you, Marika. The floor is open for discussion on this. All right, I see no hands. Well, perhaps this flows back upward in the agenda, back to a discussion about how the GAC and the GNSO work together just on an ongoing basis inside the process. Would others agree with that? Okay, thank you very much. I see the check marks. Okay. All right, then I think we should continue this discussion on the list. Let us then move to item 3, a regular call schedule. Looks like we're having some difficulty getting everyone on the call. And I appreciate Mark's input that there are competing priorities for GAC members, particularly right now. Would it be helpful if we scheduled a discussion somewhere on the order? Marika, pardon me, but this is only my second call for this working group. Are we meeting roughly once a month, once every 2 weeks? What is our current schedule?
This is Marika. Our original schedule, which I think we managed to do quite well before the London meeting, was meeting every 2 weeks. But then we had, I think, some significant challenges during the summer months there were several meetings at the same time. So I think then we kind of lost that schedule. But I think at least before, you know, people felt comfortable and happy with having a call every 2 weeks. So you could maybe suggest on moving forward on that same basis and sending out a note to the group proposing that and seeing if there's any concern or objections, and maybe as well encouraging people, if they already know now ahead of time if there are certain dates that they cannot make it, that they let us know so we, you know, can anticipate if there are certain meeting dates that, you know, are difficult for everyone and we may need to consider a change in dates.
Right. David correctly points out in the chat room that it's not just GAC members, but some GNSO folks are in Busan as well. David, that's absolutely correct. I'd be in favor of proceeding on a two-week basis. Is there any objection to doing so? If not, then I'm happy to suggest that to the list. Okay, looks like we have some agreement on that. And I'm mindful as well that we're approaching a holiday season and things tend to get jammed up for the holidays as well, but it won't be very long at all before we're preparing for with the next meeting, which is now in Singapore, as I understand it. So I would encourage all of us to not only attend the each of these discussions, but encourage colleagues to do so as well as much as possible. Okay. Any other business that needs to be discussed today? All right, I'm seeing no hands. Marika, anything else from the staff side that needs to be discussed?
This is Marika. No, I'll get the notes out to the list and then encourage everyone to comment or provide input, especially those, of course, that couldn't make the call. And then we'll confirm as well in the next meeting for Tuesday, 18th of November at 1400 UTC.
All right, very good. We're now at the top of the hour, so that's perfect timing. So I thank everyone for their time, and let's call the meeting to a close. Everyone have a good morning, afternoon, evening, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thanks.
Many thanks, Jason.
Thank you very much,
everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Francesca. You may now stop the recording. Have a great day.
Yep. Thank you.